Picture this. You are standing in the auto parts aisle, staring at this big jug of neon liquid that boldly claims it's, you know, for diesel engines. And you're wondering, does my truck actually need a specialized magical diesel liquid? Or is this just, like, marketing?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question.
Right, so welcome to today's deep dive. We are basically cutting through all that fluff on the label to reveal the precise microscopic science of what actually keeps your engine from melting down.
And it really is a science, you know, down to the molecules.
I mean, let's unpack this right out of the gate, because my brain immediately assumes that, well, because a diesel engine burns diesel fuel, the coolant must fundamentally differ from what goes into a gas car. Like, the fuel demands a specific fluid.
Right, but that's actually a huge misconception. The fuel you pump into the tank has, well, it has zero bearing on the coolant itself.
Wait, really? Not at all?
No, the coolant never even touches the fuel. What actually dictates the requirement is the specific cocktail of metals used to build the engine. So diesel engines don't just get a special diesel-only fluid by default.
Okay, so if the fuel isn't the deciding factor, what exactly are we protecting against here? I mean, I know diesels run hot, but what is physically different about the plumbing?
Well, it really comes down to thermal extremes and metallurgy. Modern diesel vehicles use systems like exhaust gas recirculation, or EGR.
Right, where they recycle the exhaust.
Exactly. They literally route blistering hot exhaust gases back through the engine to reduce emissions. And to keep that from melting everything, they use an EGR cooler.
Oh, wow. So that sounds like a massive amount of heat.
It is. So the coolant is suddenly being tasked with protecting incredibly hot aluminum heads, steel liners, plastic tanks, and these tiny solder joints all at the exact same time.
Okay, let me make sure I'm getting this. Buying coolant just because the jug says for diesel is kind of like buying a phone charger just because the box says for smartphones,
right,
without actually checking if your specific device needs USB-C or Lightning.
Yes, that is a perfect analogy. It is entirely about hardware compatibility. The label on the front of the jug is just advertising, honestly.
So it's all about what the manufacturer built it with.
Right. The OEM spec number, the original equipment manufacturer number in your manual, is the only thing that actually matters. You are matching a chemical defense system to a very specific set of metals.
Let's talk about that chemical defense system, actually.
Yeah.
Because it obviously can't just be colored water in there.
Yeah.
What is actually in this liquid doing the heavy lifting?
The heavy lifting is done by the corrosion inhibitor package. The main players you'll see are OAT, HOAT, and CyOate. And OAT stands for organic acid technology.
Hold on. An organic acid? How does an acid actually protect metal? Doesn't acid usually, you know, eat metal?
You'd think so, yeah. But in this context, these specific organic molecules chemically bond to the metal surfaces inside your engine. They form this microscopic molecular shield that stops oxygen and water from causing rust.
Oh, so it just coats everything.
Right, but it is pretty slow acting. And that is exactly why we have CyOAT, which adds silicates to those organic acids.
Oh, I read about this. The silicates are specifically for modern aluminum parts.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's almost like a microscopic scab. Like, if a piece of hot aluminum gets a micro-scratch inside the engine, the silicates rush in and instantly form a hard, glassy patch to seal it, whereas the organic acids would just take too long to build up.
I mean, that is a brilliant way to visualize it, yeah. And older systems might use phosphate silicates, which create these immediate, thick, protective films for mixed metal engines.
Well, here is where it gets really interesting for me, and I kind of have to push back a bit.
Go for it.
If the chemistry is this well understood, why can't manufacturers just agree on one universal ultimate coolant? Like, why not just put silicates and organic acids in everything and call it a day?
Ah, because different metals have competing needs. A chemical that brilliantly coats an iron block might aggressively corrode the specialized solder used in a modern aluminum radiator.
Oh, so fixing one problem causes another.
Exactly. If you try to make a one-size-fits-all fluid, you end up compromising the protection for everything.
Which, I guess, brings us to the danger of the side of the highway top-off. People think they can just grab whatever green or orange bottle is at the gas station. But color is a total lie.
Right.
Like, one brand's green is OAT, and another's is HOAT.
Color means absolutely nothing. And if you mix incompatible inhibitors, you destroy their protective balance completely.
So what actually happens inside the engine?
The chemicals can literally react with each other and precipitate out of the fluid. They form this thick, gritty brown sludge that completely chokes the narrow cooling passages of your engine.
Yikes. That sounds expensive.
It is. And worse, you completely lose your cavitation resistance.
I really want to highlight cavitation because the mechanics of this absolutely blew my mind when I was looking at our sources.
Pretty wild stuff.
Yeah. So when the spinning blades of your water pump push the coolant, they create these areas of extreme low pressure. And that low pressure actually causes the liquid to boil for a fraction of a second, which creates microbubbles.
Right. The fluid is literally tearing itself apart.
And then when those bubbles are pushed back into a higher pressure zone, they collapse. Mm. And they don't just pop. They implode violently, firing tiny shockwaves.
Yeah. And those microscopic shockwaves are so powerful, they will erode and chew right through the solid metal of your water pump or your cylinder liners.
Just from bubbles.
Just from bubbles.
Yeah.
If you mix the wrong chemistry, you lose the protective chemical film that absorbs those impacts, and the engine slowly eats itself.
Okay. So knowing that a bad chemical mix leads to shockwaves destroying your engine block, how do you actually maintain this system safely?
The golden rule is to find the exact OEM spec number, like a specific 4WSS code, for example, printed in your manual.
Oh.
You only buy coolant that explicitly says it meets that exact standard.
Got it. And what about mixing it?
If you buy concentrate, only mix it with distilled water, never tap water.
Right, because if you use hard tap water, the minerals like calcium and magnesium will actually bind to the organic acids in the coolant, neutralizing your chemical defense system before it even has a chance to coat the metal.
Exactly. You'll just get mineral scaling and a completely unprotected engine. So match the spec, not the marketing.
You want to look for meets OEM spec, not compatible with all types.
Yeah.
So to leave you with a final thought today, we know those microbubbles from cavitation can violently chew through solid metal. And right now, we basically rely on these fragile chemical inhibitors to absorb the damage.
Yep, it's a very delicate balance.
It makes you wonder, you know, how might future engineers design engine geometries that completely eliminate those violent bubble collapse zones through pure fluid dynamics alone? Like, could we one day remove the need for these specialized chemical cocktails altogether? Just something to think about next time you pop the hood.